You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball.
One ball!
The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, goal.
Scoring the goals.
He shoots, he scores,
goal. Scoring the goals.
Hello and welcome to the League Podcast with William Hill. Alex Dunn and Pete Farries are with you in the studio. Well, I'm in the studio. Pete's on the line. Hello, Pete.
Hello, this took a while, didn't it?
Yeah, we've had some gremlins in the system. We'll call them that. Hopefully, by the time people are listening to this, it's beautiful and clear. And you can hear both of our voices, like wonderful, rich northern velvet.
From the same town, in fact. Not just that. From the same town, Alex. So,
but fingers crossed. And let's face it, if you are listening to us and thinking that sounds a bit different than normal, well, just understand that we've had some problems. All right. God.
Get off our backs. You're not our real dad.
Yeah, exactly. Listeners.
Not that we share a dad either.
No.
You're neither of our real dads.
No, that would be. That'd
Unless
be
we do
a,
share
a
dad,
bit
but that's
far.
A what an incredible revelation that would be at the beginning of the podcast.
That would be
Alex. Before we start talking about betting today, I have a quick point I wanted to make about our parentage.
The start of the podcast. That would be it'd be a first for me, definitely. I've never started a podcast like this before, but hey, hopefully anyway, people are listening to us. They're enjoying our voices, and they're going, you know, if they hadn't said they had gremlins in the system, I wouldn't have noticed a difference. Fingers crossed. Everything okay, though?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
Yeah. Swell.
Good.
We've got three games to focus on. We'll start on Friday night. Brighton-Sheffield Wednesday is an absolute cracker. Brighton even money. The draw 23-10. Sheffield Wednesday a 16-5. Brighton in second. Sheffield Wednesday in sixth. I'm going to speak about this as a Newcastle fan, of which I am one. Brighton, obviously, Newcastle's main dangers at the moment for promotion have been in flying form, barring that slip-up at Preston last week. Sheffield Wednesday, I think I'm fair in saying, are probably the best side Newcastle have played so far this season when they won at St James's on Boxing Day. They're on a nice little unbeaten run now and they're into the playoffs. I think this could be a really interesting game, and though people will be tempted by even money on Brighton, I think Sheffield Wednesday could give them something to think about. This could be an absolute cracker on Friday night, couldn't it?
But it's still away from home on Wednesday, isn't it?
Mm.
This is the thing. And I know you're absolutely right. Sheffield Wednesday were absolutely exemplary in that 1-0 victory over Newcastle. Absolutely incredible. But I just never want to be with them away from home, especially at Brighton, who have lost just once at home this season against Brentford, who don't really concede a huge amount of goals at home either, have conceded in just two of the last five at home, beat Leeds, who are a very, very good side. Battered Norwich, of course, beat QPR 3-0. And Sheffield Wednesday won at Newcastle. But then outside of that, they've also won at Huddersfield, which is impressive. But then Blackburn and Wolves, the other two. I find it hard, really, to argue against the even money, because as good as Sheffield Wednesday are, and as we've said, they are really good, it's an away side. I mean, look, this is a side who were in the playoffs last season, are in the playoffs now, and have still won just 10 away games since the beginning of last season. You know?
Mm.
That's not beyond horrendous, but it's not good for a side who are challenging for promotion, is it?
No.
If we're honest, I mean, it's not good at all. I mean, if you look at Brighton, for example, Brighton have won 7 away games this season alone. So, you know, you've got to sort of balance those two things up and say, well, actually, Wednesday are correctly priced in this because they don't do it for you away from home. Brighton also, don't forget, on the telly this season, have been incredible, haven't they?
Mm.
Every time they've been in the telly, they've played superbly. Admittedly, they had to leave it very, very late against Birmingham when they won 2-1. Probably the weakest performance on the screens, and one of the weakest performances of the season so far on the whole, probably. But they are a good side on telly as well, so even money for Brighton is brilliant. And of course, if you're playing things happening on telly, good players happening on telly, etc., which is a betting strand I'm always very keen to play. If I see someone who enjoys the limelight, it's a good way of firming your bet. Glenn Murray, who we've of course spoken of again and again and again and again, well into double digits now this season, for him to score and Brighton to win, it's up from 2-1 to 5-2 on the enhanced odds offers. I would absolutely definitely play that. I do think both teams score. You know, you could look at something like Fernando Forestieri to score. I mean, if you think Wednesday win, Forestieri is a good punt, isn't he? And he's the other enhanced odds offer. But both teams to score is 23-20, which is decent, which is very decent. I think Brighton will win, so 11-8 for over 2.5 goals is very, very decent. You know, there are good ways of playing this, but I think Murray to score, Brighton to win up from 2-1 to 5-2. It's without a doubt my favourite one, Alex. I mean, what do you think? Where would you go here?
I think it's very difficult. I think it's sort of heart and head almost. But I just can't get over Sheffield Wednesday being that price. So I think it'd have to be a pro Wednesday bet. But again, it's not often that you're going to get Brighton at that price at home. So
can we draw no bet Wednesday at 2s plus a goal at 3-4?
I think probably draw no bet. I think. Yeah. But they are a kind of all or nothing side, aren't they? They'll either come here and purr and be absolutely fantastic, or they will struggle and lose. Do you know what I mean? I don't think it'll be tight either way in the end. I think that depending on which Sheffield Wednesday turns up, we'll have a massive bearing on the game. But
I mean, that's the thing, I suppose, isn't it? It's 4 away losses, 4 away draws, and 4 away wins for them this season.
Yeah.
So ultimately, you could argue, well, 16-5 is about the right price because they've won 1 in 3 away games.
I'd say on balance, it is probably priced up, probably correctly.
Yeah.
Because any bigger on either side would be good value, in a way. Look, people are going to be tempted by that even money on Brighton, though, aren't they? Given how good they have been, and barring that Preston slip-up, forget being at home, they've just been fantastic of late.
Yeah, and they did me last weekend, but let's be fair as well, Preston are a good team. Mm. They're not phenomenal. They're not going to get, I don't think, get promoted, albeit they are, you know, only 6 points off Wednesday, but they're a good team, especially at Deepdale, so you've got to bear that in mind as well. But Wednesday, as good as they are, I just never want my money with them away from home at all. Especially, you know, if they're going to someone like Rotherham or whatever, you go, well, I don't care about them being away from home. Fine. Or even like a mid-table team, like when they beat Wolves, for example. The other thing I would say, I suppose, you could argue, is that they beat Huddersfield when Huddersfield were in the top three. Mm. And they beat Newcastle when Newcastle were in the top three. So you could argue that against the big boys, when they go away from home, they do it then. That could be an argument for them.
Possibly.
But ultimately, it's an argument I would ignore. I still think Brighton are even money a good bit of value.
Okay. QPR Fulham is the Saturday lunchtime kickoff. QPR 11-4, the draw 5-2, and Fulham are 21-20. Fulham are in eighth. They've been sublime at moments this season and ridiculous in others. Very hard to know what to make of this Fulham side, but the fact remains that they're only 6 points off the playoffs. QPR have had a pretty shocking season, and then somehow out of nowhere, they've now won 3 in a row, which is almost, I'll be honest, Pete, it slipped under my radar completely that they've now notched 3 wins in a row, but it's dragged them out of the relegation mire for now, and who knows, a couple more wins and they could be looking firmly up rather than down. I'd say that QPR are a big price here at 11-4. Doesn't make me want to back them especially, but I couldn't be with Fulham at 21-20 in a game like this. That said, their record this season, Fulham, speaks for itself. When they're on form, they can give anyone a game.
Well, they've battered Huddersfield, they've battered Reading, admittedly both, of course, at Craven Cottage. But I didn't realise this until I started to prep for this, but Fulham have lost just twice away from home this season. Mm. And they came at Brighton, where Brighton needed a last 10-minute winner, and at Villa, where Villa needed a last 10-minute winner. They're really, really good away from home. I mean, QPR's run of wins here is all well and good. It's great, in fact, because the Reading win especially is a brilliant win. But then Ipswich and Wolves, they're okay. Mm. Not magical, are they?
Nope.
No magic there. I keep coming back to what the pressure's like at QPR at the moment at Loftus Road. I mean, Ian Holloway's made a point of it himself, that everyone's nervous, everyone's under pressure and everything else at QPR. And I thought the price on Fulham was big because the scoring away from home, QPR's problem, and Ian Holloway's admitted this, is they don't have an out-and-out proper, you know, king goal scorer. And Fulham away from home scored 2 against Brentford, 4 at Wolves, 2 at Ipswich last time. And even though the price is maybe a bit big with current 5-game form for QPR, Fulham at 21-20 would still be the play. Now, the enhanced odds offer here is Chris Martin to score and Fulham to win. The Chris Martin situation is one of the most ludicrous I've ever seen or heard of in football. if you want our listeners, have a look into it. It's absolutely, it's just bizarre. But he is scoring. He's got two in his last couple. So 5-2 for Martin to score and Fulham to win. We all know Tom Kearney's a constant play for me. So 12-5 Tom Kearney, blah, 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 blah. But I went with kind of the general form here and the general form lines, which is, yes, QPR are improving. They've won three in a row now in the Championship. Maybe they're starting to turn things around. The win over Reading was impressive. They've had two extra days rest, of course, because they played their game last week on a Thursday. But Fulham just look really, really good away from home. Almost like their brand of football is better actually away than it is at home. And so I had to go with the odds against on the away side. I don't think it's the best bet of the weekend by a country mile, but I still don't want to be with QPR. I still don't think they score enough goals.
Okay. Fulham then, to edge it in a tricky one.
Yeah, it is tricky, that one.
Yeah, it is.
Which way would you go?
I think QPR are just too big.
Right.
Having won the last three. They're just too big at that price. I wouldn't have that much between them. But I think I'm also blinkered by the fact that I still see Fulham as being a side that are awful on the road, and they're really not, as you said.
Yeah, not even close, yeah.
And that can happen, can't it? You can have sort of a jaded stereotype stuck in your head.
Yeah, quite, absolutely.
And it's important to look. I mean, we're well and truly far enough into this season now that this season's form can count for everything pretty much that you're basing your bet around,
yeah.
Barring maybe head-to-head records. But no, I'd still just edge QPR, I think, in that one. Some pro-QPR bet. The final game we're going to focus on is on Saturday tea time, or the final feature game at least. Barnsley against Leeds. 23-10 the home side. The draw 12-5 and Leeds are 5-4. Leeds still absolutely flying. They are third in the table going into this weekend's games. Obviously, by the time that they play, they'll know some of the teams around them's results. And then saying the Barnsley side, who started the season really well, had a pretty bad blip, then bounced back to form. And yes, they lost at Fulham last time out, but prior to that, had some decent wins away at Cardiff on Boxing Day, at home to Blackburn, and away to Forest. Three wins in the last five in the league for Barnsley. They're not a bad side. Leeds have proven themselves to be probably slightly better than an average side in the Championship this season. They're third in the table. They're having one heck of a season. Can it continue? They're 5-4 here, Pete.
Yes, 100% it can. I think this is a nailed-on, that's a scary word, isn't it, in our game. But I think this is a nailed-on Leeds win of 5-4. Barnsley obviously have had to sell Sam Winnell in the last 7 days. He's scored 11 of their goals this season, including a huge amount of the home goals that they've scored at Oakwell this season. But before we get into the outrights and the form lines, can I just take you through the goal scoring and in terms of overs and unders here?
Mm-hmm.
Because Barnsley, last five games, these are the totals in their games. 7-2, 4-1-2. Yeah, you know, the seven's a biggie, but okay. Their last five at home, none. 7-3-2-4. For Leeds' last five games generally, 1-5-2-3-1. A bit middling. Away from home, 5-3-2-5-2. So you go, well, yeah, there are kind of the over form lines and everything else, but is it really that sort of huge?
Mm.
But Barnsley's games this season average 3.15 goals per game. Now, while Leeds has averaged 2.27, the fact remains that their current form would push you well above that. Now, sadly, this morning, first thing this morning, at 9 a.m. in fact, when I text you and you were asleep, the overs was even money. It's now 10-11, but I would still play that over 2.5 at 10-11 without question. The both teams to score, yes, I'd absolutely play that as well at 4-6. Again, no question at all. I think this game's got goals absolutely all over it. Now, in terms of the outright, why am I going for Leeds? Well, they drew at Villa last away game, but that's fine. Villa Park's a difficult place to go. It's just the problems come away from there. Momentum is as high as I've ever seen it for Leeds United. I've lived here 11, 12 years. And even during the League One charge, it never felt like this. Four wins from five for them. But Barnsley, they've got players requesting moves. Winnell's gone. The suggestions that Hourihane now wants out as well. And Hourihane is a vital player in that Barnsley side. And I just feel that, you know, we saw that wobble early in the season when everything kicked off with Tommy Wright, didn't we? Because Tommy Wright was such an important part of that club, but he's obviously had to leave following that newspaper expose. They then wobbled immediately after that. They've picked themselves back up, but now it's another punch, it's another wobble. And don't forget as well, they lost their last league game at Fulham, and also what happened midweek. It went to extra time. And there was, I would say, a fairly strong Barnsley side out. It went to extra time, and they lost in the last minute of extra time. Right? So Leeds have had, by the time it kicks off at 5:30 p.m. on Saturday, they have had 8 days off. Well, you know, 8 days of non-competitive football play. Barnsley will have had Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. 3 days, I suppose four if you have the whole of Saturday, but 3 days generally. And on top of that, played an extra time game of football in the FA Cup. Now, against Leeds, there's no Pontus Janssen, so that is a bad thing. Defensively, they might have to move Luke Ayling back into centre-back again, but it worked for them fine against Derby, didn't it? A game where they should have won by more.
I was going to say, he looked fine there, and Louis Coyle came in at right-back, and he was... he's a one heck of a talent going forward. So, not necessarily as bad a thing as it may have looked a month ago.
Exactly. Now, Chris Wood's been scoring goals just all over the place. He got the winner the other day. For him to score in Leeds' win is 3-1 on the enhanced odds. Take that. It's such a good bet. You have to take that with the form that guy has been in.
21-10 pushed out to 3-1 here at
Wembley. Yeah. But I've gone further in this because I think Leeds could win this 3-1. I honestly think there's going to be that many goals in this. So as much as I think the both teams to score is decent, I think the minus a goal at 3-1 for Leeds is great as well.
Okay.
I think Leeds... I don't think it'll be like embarrassing. I don't think it'll be a 5 or a 6 or a 4 or a 5 or a 6. But they will win the game, and I can see them scoring three times. So Leeds minus a goal, not that they have to, but if both teams score, then to land the minus one, they have to score three times. But minus one, 3-1. I think it's an absolute beauty, Alex.
Okay. Fair enough. Leeds then a confident selection in the Saturday tea time game. Great stuff, Pete. I'm going to hand it back to you now for your 3 p.m. championship treble. Three games that you like there. And then we'll hear from Gav Puszczalowski and Al Ross on Leagues 1 and 2, respectively. Well, you're also going to throw your nap in, aren't you? Last week, no success for anyone. We've had some really good week. You've been in good form. Al had five winners in a row prior to tipping Mansfield last week. And Gav hadn't been in fantastic form, but he had the winner with Scunthorpe the week before. But last week, no winners for anyone. Let's see if we can improve that this time around. So Pete's championship treble coming up, followed by his nap. And then we'll hear from Gav and Al. And I'll be back next week.
Let's start then with a team that were pretty profitable for us last weekend, and that's Cardiff. Prices a lot shorter this week because they're at home against Burton. 17-20 Cardiff, the draw 5-2, Burton Albion at 100-30. Cardiff, as Neil Warnock tends to do, have improved massively at home since his arrival. They've in fact won three of their last five. They've beaten Huddersfield, Wolves and Villa in that period. They got a fantastic 0-0 draw with Brighton. And yes, they lost to Barnsley, but that was a crazy game where, of course, it was a 90th minute Williams winner in a 4-3 for Barnsley. For Burton, they've finally broken that away day hoodoo. They'd gone all season without an away win before their game, of course, their last away game, weirdly, of 2016, where they beat Rotherham 2-1. It's been 20-odd days since they last played away from home, but going to Cardiff, I don't think, means that they're going to get absolutely anything from it. Because yes, Rotherham are a side who are at the bottom end of the table, as Cardiff are, but Cardiff are going up, they're moving forward, whereas really, when you look at Rotherham, they're not a side who are going anywhere other than it would seem, returning to League One. So 17-20 Cardiff is absolutely the first place to stop. And in terms of goal scorers in this game, it's not the easiest, is it? I mean, Pilkington scored recently, he's 6-4. Lambert scored recently, he's 17-10. Rawls bagged the winner the other day, 16-5. Peter Whittingham, of course, always an interesting poke if you fancy him in the market at 18-5. But I think both teams score in this game. I'm really pretty convinced, in fact, that both teams score in this game. That's 10-11, by the way. And overs at 21-20 would be the play if you think both teams are going to score, and of course a team is going to win. But if both teams score, then there might be a bit of value here on going the other side for a goal scorer, but with a Cardiff win. And those who listen regularly will know that Jackson Irvine is the man that I often like to back for Burton. He has been superb for Burton so far this season, already been looked at by a variety of higher-up clubs, and to be fair, it may well be that they lose the Australasian over the course of the next couple of weeks. 3-1, Jackson Irvine to score any time is a brilliant-looking bet. Cardiff win this game for me, but Irvine, with his form this season, with the goals this season, really the main goal-scoring threat for Burton Albion, 3-1 is a huge, huge price. But Cardiff's home form is absolutely excellent in comparison, in relation to that of the Burton away form. So if Neil Warnock can escape the clutches of Steven Gerrard, then really, Cardiff, you play. Next up is a little bit of a big price, I think, this weekend, and that comes in the Norwich against Wolves game. Norwich in the market then at 11-10, the draw 5-2, Wolves there at 12-5. That 12-5 could provide a little bit of value, I think, this weekend. You might want to go for your draw no bet at 6-4, your plus a goal Wolves at 4-6. But when you look at the form lines, is it possible here to back Norwich at 11-10? Not for me. Now, admittedly, some of the teams who've beaten them in the last five, Huddersfield and Reading, are very, very good teams indeed, but they lost away at Rotherham last time. And don't forget, they played on Wednesday night against Southampton. These Wolves players have had a whole week off following that very good, very important 1-0 victory over Aston Villa that we saw on our TV screens on Saturday. Their general form, 3 wins from the last 5, a draw against Sheffield Wednesday is incredibly impressive, and okay, a loss against QPR, but QPR are improving. Also, look at Wolves away from Molineux, because they've drawn at Preston, a tricky place, the Wednesday draw we've mentioned, they beat QPR 2-1, they beat Forest 2-0, a 2-1 loss at Cardiff is not amazing, it's not awful, it was obviously a goal in the last 5 minutes that won it. But away from home this season, as much as their season has been a little bit disastrous, we've only seen 4 away losses. And look at the teams, well, some of the teams that they've lost against. They've lost at Huddersfield. They've lost at Brighton. Both absolutely fair enough results when you consider the differing qualities of the sides this season. So Norwich played Wednesday. Now, admittedly, their form at Carrow Road has been good. They hit 5 past Brentford, 3 past Derby, beat Villa 1-0, lost to talented Leeds and Huddersfield sides. And their home form has been very decent. But with a day's with a few days less rest, I should say, plus form, and this is important, plus form that has seen just 3 league wins since the 15th of October, in what way, shape, or form can you really, really want to back Norwich here? The answer to me is you can't. The 6-4 draw no bet is a definite play. Now, one man with their 4 in his last 6 is Helder Costa. And Costa is an intriguing character. He was at one point seen as the great new hope at Benfica, but things began to dissipate. He moved to Spain with Deportivo La Coruña, then to Monaco. And to be honest, for Wolves to have him, I know they had to spend some money, but for Wolves to have him is pretty impressive. That form shows he's beginning to pick himself up a bit. 21-10 any time for Helder Costa is great. But yes, Norwich's home form is very, very decent. It is, let's be fair, very, very decent. But their general form, just 3 wins since the 15th of October, is abominable. They played on Wednesday night, so they'll be less fresh than their opponents as well. And I'll take Wolves, draw no bet, at 6-4. So where are we going to look finally? Well, that's going to be Huddersfield against Ipswich. 4-5 Huddersfield, Ipswich 19-5, the draw 12-5. I can't tell you how genuinely close I was to napping Ipswich last weekend when they took on and defeated Blackburn 3-2 in a bit of a ding-dong affair. I didn't, I napped Brighton, and I got it wrong. But what do we know about Ipswich again, folks? Well, let's do this once more, shall we? They've only had the same result back-to-back once this season, and that was all the way back in August, after what was a pretty embarrassing turn of events midweek as well. Mick McCarthy came out and said, if the club want to sack me, then that's their business. Right now, things do not feel right at Ipswich at all. So as much as they were great value last weekend, they are not good value this weekend. Because, let's be fair as well, Huddersfield are an exceptionally good side. After a fantastic start, they dropped away a little. It was, I thought by a lot of people that they might just settle into mid-table, but David Wagner's done brilliantly to pull them right back up. Now, just two wins from their last five at home, but they are still a very, very, very good side. Now, the other thing to say about them here is that they've had more time off. Now, Huddersfield, and again, I'm sorry I bang on about this, but Huddersfield are one of, if not the fittest team in the Championship this season. Now, that is an absolute beauty. Because not only then are they the fittest team in the league, they are also playing a team who played on Tuesday. So you've got to really play this in Huddersfield's favour. Now, 4-5 is odds on, I appreciate that. But that also kind of doesn't matter. 4-5 is a great price with a home side. So that's the home side that we pick here. That's the side that we pick. Now, what do we know about Huddersfield? Well, when they win league games, they do it, folks, all together now, by a goal. Every single one of their league victories this season has come by a goal. So if you, like I, like the 4-5 and you say, well, Pete, the 4-5 is enough for me, there's no need to make this any sexier. I kind of agree and I kind of don't. Because Huddersfield -1, Ipswich +1 on the handicap tie, which is, by the way, folks, as you know, you're not stupid, Huddersfield by a goal is 12-5. That is brilliant. That is a great bet. Anytime 5-4 Elias Kachunga. Again, love scoring, mainly, of course, at home. And one final thing to add to this, just 3 away victories this season for Ipswich. And while 2 of those have come in the last 5 against Sheffield Wednesday and Wigan, really losing at Bristol City, Birmingham and QPR is a slightly more realistic and slightly more understandable and slightly more correct version of what they actually are as a side. So Huddersfield at 4-5, Kachunga at 5-4, and Huddersfield by a goal at 12-5. And when it comes to naps, well, I got it wrong last weekend for the first time in a long time. This time it is going to be a nap involving Ipswich. It's going to be backing them to lose. Huddersfield at 4-5, my nap of the week. Best of luck.
Here are my 3 best bets for League One action this weekend, starting with my nap selection, which has to be Rochdale at 21-20 to win at home to Oxford. Rochdale are going great guns this season and their home form is just impeccable. They've won their 10 previous games at home in League One of Rochdale, and in their last 5 games at home, they've scored 15 goals. They are on fire. Ian Henderson is scoring plenty, and the last 4 games at home for Rochdale, Ian Henderson has scored the first goal of the game. So look at Henderson anytime. Definitely have a look at Henderson to score the first goal as well. Rochdale and overs, very much a play. Rochdale and both teams score as a play. Oxford have scored in the last 4 games away from home. They've won at Bury, they've won at Gillingham of late on the road, but those sides not as good as Rochdale. So I think this could be a scoring game, but I'm fancying Rochdale at 21-20, my nap selection for this weekend. My next bet is Southend at home to Bolton, and I fancy Southend to beat Bolton at 9-5. Their home form is very good, and Southend are looking to push back into the playoffs. Bolton are looking to push back and close the gap on the top two. Bolton have not won in the last 4 games straight, 2 in the league, 2 in the cup, and they had a trip to Crystal Palace in the FA Cup during the week, and they lost there, while Southend were sat with their feet up. Southend's home form is pretty solid. They've only lost of late recently to Sheffield United, and Southend are regular scorers at home in terms of over 1.5 and over 2.5, and only once this season away from home have Bolton conceded more than a goal. And I think Southend can score a couple here, and I don't think Bolton will have anything in reply. And Bolton, the pressure is on them to close that gap to the top two, and they won't fancy this trip to Southend. They will think it's difficult, and I think Southend are just a bit too big at 9-5, so I'm taking Southend to win. Southend unders, Southend overs, that's the dilemma. But either way, Southend at 9-5 to win is a play. My third and final bet looks a little bit risky from the outset, but actually the form is good for Chesterfield at home, and I don't think they should be as big as 11-5 to win at home to Wimbledon. Wimbledon have had a poor week. They lost at home to Sutton United in the FA Cup by 3-1. And look at Wimbledon's away form in League One. No victories, a couple of draws, plenty of defeats, but no goals. Wimbledon have not scored on the road in League One since October. That's 5 or 6 games without a goal for Wimbledon. And Chesterfield's home form, it's actually pretty good of late. Their last 4 games at home, 12 points available, they've taken 10 from 12. They're winning games at home all of a sudden, and they've got a new manager as well with Gary Caldwell. The former Wigan manager has been appointed the Chesterfield boss this week, so he will get a lot from his team. It's that honeymoon period for Gary Caldwell, and I think a home tie against Wimbledon is absolutely perfect for Chesterfield, and I doubt very much that Chesterfield should be 11-5. It could be an unders game, it could be just 1 or 2 nil for Chesterfield, but either way, I doubt Chesterfield should be 11-5 to win at home to Wimbledon. So those are my three best bets for this weekend. 3 home sides on the outright, starting with my NAP selection, which is Rochdale at 21-20 to win at home to Oxford. I'm going for Southend at 9-5 to beat Bolton, and Chesterfield at 11-5 to beat Wimbledon. Add it all up, it's just over 17-1.
Newport and Notts County chose an awful week to end their terrible losing runs. Acca down last week. It made their opponents this weekend, Grimsby and Barnet, look like huge prices. Both at home, both odds against. I don't really want to be burned twice by the same fire, so I thought I would start to look elsewhere, and there is plenty of value around this week. For instance, Yeovil. Blackpool's last home win was at the start of December against non-league Brackley in the FA Cup. The games before that were against Notts County and Newport, whose long losing runs have been well documented on this pod. In front of goal, Blackpool have a big problem. They did score 2 goals in the FA Cup on Tuesday, but that is as many as in their previous 7 games combined. The 17th of December was the last time either Blackpool or their opponents scored more than once in 90 minutes. Yes, they played extra time in midweek, and they scored their only goals, other than against a hugely understrength Wickham in the Trophy, since Boxing Day. In the last 6 league games, the home side in every single one of them has failed to score. That is a run going back to November, and if Blackpool don't score, they don't win. So how on earth are they odds on? Visitors Yeovil, not exactly goal machines. 17 of their 25 this season have been under 2.5 goals. Yeovil have also drawn 3 in 5. 2 of their last 4 have been goalless. Blackpool have drawn each of their last 4 matches, and 5 in 6, 3 of those for Blackpool have been goalless. The draw is 23-10, a goalless draw, 8-1. Certainly worth a look. That is a big price. Let's throw in a short one. Doncaster, 11-20. Yes, it is short, but it's not a bad price for this league's only unbeaten home side. In form and 10 wins in 13 at the Keep Moat, a big win against Portsmouth last Thursday, and a come-from-behind win at Barnet last week, and its crew, who are in town. Their only away win since September was at Leighton Orient, when Orient were at rock bottom. They failed to score in 4 of the last 5 away. The only goal was a consolation at Cambridge. 6 defeats in 8 home and away, and yet Doncaster to nil is 29-20, and on the outright for the Acca, a very fair 11-20. And when I started writing this, I was going to extol the virtues of Wickham's price, 29-20 at home to Luton, but I'm going to go back on what I said right at the start. I know, I'm sorry, but Notts County may have ended that disastrous losing run, but even though Juan Arquiz and Matt Green of Mansfield couldn't break them down last week in that 0-0 draw that scuppered the Acca, Grimsby's goals for column is so much better, besides which County on the road and County at home are different beasts, aren't they? Notts County's last 5 home league games conceded 7, last 5 league games away, 17. And Exeter's 3-0 defeat by Grimsby last week has pushed the Mariners odds against. It did end a run of 10 points from their previous 4 games, and I'm expecting a bounce back here. County's last opponents Mansfield have scored 26 goals this season. Well, Grimsby's Omar Bogle's got 18 on his own. I can't not put Grimsby in at home at an odds against price against this Notts County side. Oh, and yes, there is that good old Plymouth, of course, a day in the sun against Liverpool in midweek, but what now? The idea they'll be mentally burned out has credence, and I'd normally back that idea, but frankly, I'd rather have the Plymouth at 11-8 than a very poor third-bottom Cheltenham side who, as a rule, can't get points off the big teams. Besides, I'm more confident with the other selections than Plymouth 11-8. I can't see Doncaster dropping points, so even though it's the shortest price, that 11-20 has to be the nap this week. Add in Grimsby at 23-20 and the draw at Blackpool at 23-10. It's a nicely rounded 10-1.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.